Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of Study Busters. My name is Mark Blaze, and I am your host for today. We will be discussing different study tactics and tips that teachers use when helping out students. Today, we have Hayden Harrower on the show. Welcome, Hayden. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Mark. How are you?
Good. He is an academic coach and public speaking professor to students at Sober College, a rehabilitation program. So the topic for today is how to reach students, especially those who have had difficult circumstances to deal with. So first off, what led you to becoming an academic coach?
Well, I think like any good story, I think you kind of fall into these things. I originally started teaching public speaking at the collegiate level. And then, you know, through a friend of a friend, I was offered this opportunity to do a bit more than that, to coach people on an everyday level at Sober College, which has been a really great experience. It's been something that's really awesome, and it's something that I'm passionate about. I love education, and I love helping people. I love trying to really take the minuscule parts of the learning process and trying to explain that to people. You know, we often so say as teachers, go study this concept, go study this concept. But we're never really told how to study. And so I've taken a lot of time personally on my own throughout my own educational journey. And I feel like I'm pretty adept at communicating that to other people. So it was a really good fit.
Well, as a teacher, what is the best thing students can do in and out of the classroom from a teacher's perspective to study?
Man, there's a lot. Best thing a student can do. You know, I always say this. A lot of school is actually about discipline in a weird way. It's about being disciplined in very small things. I'll give you a concrete example. If you're writing a paper, the most important thing is to accomplish that goal, right? Whatever the teacher is saying, let's try to, you know, analyze this book, or let's try to answer this question. Most students who don't do who do very poorly in school just don't answer that question. They forget about what the goal is in mind, the boundary lines of the game, if you will. They don't do the little things right. They don't turn in an assignment the day it's due. They don't, you know, sometimes I've had teachers in the past will give you a point if you put your name on a quiz, right? So getting those easy points here and there, first and foremost, before we start talking about anything else, that is the most important thing, is just turning your homework, showing up to class, and answering the prompts when you have them.
Is there a way to motivate students when they just don't seem disciplined in school?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of perspectives out there, a lot of science that talks about motivation, and this is actually how I started into this work. I was a student myself, obviously, and in college, you know, I had struggled with motivation. I realized that was a huge part of being successful, is being wanting to be successful, and so I did a lot of research on my own, and what I found was, to say it very simply, not that I'm an expert, but to say it very simply, it's there is a carrot and a stick. Right? We're either motivated not to do something, be afraid of something that will cause us pain, or we're motivated to go towards something, the carrot. And so I think a lot of students are aware of the stick. They're really aware of, you know, not wanting to be in trouble, not wanting to turn in an assignment late, and that's fine. But you're here for a reason. You're here to try to better yourself, and you're here to try to get to a different place in your life. That's what education is really about. So, you know, I think the root of a lot of motivation problems is there's not this sense of what am I working towards. You know, when I went to school, I went to school out in the University of Hartford in Connecticut. Go Hawks. And you know, the reason I did that, though, wasn't because I just wanted to go to school in the East Coast or even go to that specific school. It was because I wanted to be an ESPN at the time. And ESPN was not too far away. And so I knew everything I was doing was getting me closer to that ultimate dream job. Now, I did a pretty bad job of fulfilling that route. You know, that motivation was really key in helping me get to the next step. So having something in front of you, having that carrot, having that reason you're there, that ultimate why, as a lot of people will call it, that's probably the biggest root of a lot of motivational problems.
As a teacher, how do you motivate your students, though, like one-on-one?
So I try to sell them on that why. You know, I started my first ever class I was teaching public speaking at 8 o'clock in the morning at San Diego State. Now, if you're familiar with San Diego State, that's a bit of a reputation. And so, you know, it was a really big task to try to get people who really don't like public speaking to begin with to get in this class. And so, you know, what I try to do as a teacher and what I've learned from, you know, being a student very recently and being a young teacher is that you have to sell the class on the why. You have to explain why these things are there. You know, when I was a student, in elementary school, just learning algebra, right? Why do we have X? Why do we have Y? Why is it these things? They couldn't tell me the answer. And after a while, I stopped doing math because I didn't really see the purpose. I didn't really care, in pre-calculus, a spoke around a wheel and how fast it. I didn't care. There's no reason for me to do that. So, luckily for me, public speaking is pretty easy to sell. Right? It's a class where I can say, here's why we do this. We want to communicate better. We want to, if you want to go on a date and have more successes with that, this is a good class for you, right? If you want to go on a job interview and out interview people who are way more qualified than you, which I've done in the past, right? That's possible through communication. So I try to sell on the why. Why is it important? And most importantly, why is it important to me, right? Passion is contagious. And so if I'm passionate about my subject, and I think it's cool and fascinating, then that's going to start to leak onto my students. So, a combination of selling it to them, having my own passion, and then developing a really good relationship with my students. I found this in myself when I was a student, that if I liked a teacher a lot, I was going to be less inclined to disappoint them. And some of that kind of pressure was what made me kind of do better in classes I didn't care about, like geology. Right. And so I think a part of it is building that connection with the teacher and having understanding where they come from. So, any advice to any students out there, if you're in a class you really don't care for, but you have a teacher who's really passionate about it, just ask them one day. Right. Why do you care so much about this? Right. No, just all due respect. But why do you care so much about this? I did this once with I had a foot doctor for a second. I promise this relates. And he's a podiatrist. Right. And I was like, why? Why in the world, of all the things you could have specialized in, why a podiatrist? And my podiatrist goes, well, the feet are the fundamentals of your body. And if your feet are off kilter, it actually will change your hips, and it'll change your knees, and it'll change your back, and actually will affect everything else up there. And I was like, wow, that's actually really, really cool. And so in one sentence, he could explain why this was a really, really important thing and made me already more interested in it. So I think kind of understanding that passion where it comes from can sometimes leak out into you.
Awesome. All right. So you teach at Sober College, which is a rehab program. What are some of the challenges you face as an academic coach and as a public speaking professor when dealing with students in a rehabilitating program?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I think it's a question that doesn't just belong to what we do at Sober College. I think there's many people across the nation right now who are struggling with different addictions, or who are just in a period of their life where they look a lot like someone who is struggling with an addiction. So I think it's an important thing that we need to be talking about. I think the struggle is the things that come along with addiction. A lot of people that I work with at Sober College do experience a lot of, we do see a lot of people with ADHD, with ADD, and sometimes OCD. And so those are challenges. Those are real challenges, and they're not the only ones. There's a lot of students out there. So, I think one of the biggest challenges is trying to get to know yourself and how you work, and then being able to communicate that to a teacher and having the teacher respect that and try to adapt to the student. And so I think that's one of the biggest challenges is it affects the learning mechanisms in their brain. And on top of that, we talked about motivation. From what I've seen, I don't know the science behind it, but from what I've seen, that the drug usage really affects the motivation in school. There's a lack of real concrete understanding of what this education is going to do for me later. There's a lack of, I'm doing this to go somewhere else. When people are doing a lot of drugs, or even alcohol for that matter, they get very short-term focused. When you get very short-term focused, you stop doing long-term goals. When you stop doing long-term goals, you're less willing to go through hardships for that long-term goal. So there's a lot of things that stem from those problems. But I think, some of the afflictions that go with it, along with the motivational issue, I think those are some of the biggest ones we have.
Awesome. All right. What do you think is different about teaching? You just kind of covered this.
Yeah.
But would you prefer to be an academic coach or a public speaking professor when dealing with teaching?
Oof, that's tough. I think I would actually much rather be a coach, to be honest.
Why is that?
Well, I enjoy having an even closer bond with my students. I enjoy kind of being on their side and really rooting for them. When you're a teacher, your attention is divided among 20 to 30 students. And so, there might be a student that you see, wow, they need a lot more help than I can even give right now. And you kind of have to cut your losses a little bit. You know, you have to say, I'm going to help you the best I can, but you got five other classes. I got other classes I got to teach and you got to go. So your memory, your attention is a little more fragmented. Luckily for me, I get to work at such a great place like Sober College, which it's a shame that there's only so few examples like them. But I get the chance to not only teach, but to work with someone for 9 months. You know, I get to work with someone for 9 months, help them graduate high school, and then, you know, see them out through college and try to get them jobs and stuff like that. So it's a bit more fulfilling for what is at the core of teaching for me. Try to help other people just become better. And so I really prefer that. I've always enjoyed teaching, and I think I always will. And I don't think if you told me to just be a coach and not teach, I think that would be hard for me because I really do love teaching. But the coaching aspect is definitely has a lot more fulfillment because it's really hard, and you have a lot of bad days. So sometimes the fulfillment comes from looking back and saying, wow, what progress have we made?
Awesome. So for all teachers around, do you think they could benefit from teaching at a place like Sober College at a rehab program?
Yes. Well, yes, yes and no. I've wondered this a few times with people I work with. We have other classes as well there, and we talk about this all the time. Is teaching at Sober College creating good teaching habits, or is it actually teaching bad teaching habits? And overall, I would say that it's really effective for teachers because you don't have the benefit of a whole bunch of students who are real go-getters. You know, we have a lot of students that come through Sober College who didn't even want to come, who don't even really want to change their lives. But, you know, they had caring parents with resources that can make that happen, and then they did. So, you know, I think the big difference is you have a whole clientele of people who do not want to be there. Really do not want to be there. And on top of that, you know, they start our classes within their, you know, their detoxing process. So there's a lot more different challenges, a lot more I have to consider. And I think that makes me a better teacher because when I, you know, if I ever go back out to just teaching at, you know, as a professor at different universities, I will still consider that a bit more. You know, can still consider where they're coming from. You know,
be a little bit more understanding.
Exactly, exactly. You know, we like to say, you know, meet them where they're at, and I don't think that always happens when you just get thrown into teaching. It wasn't really taught to me that way. So even though I felt I was always pretty empathetic, I think it's really increased it a lot, and it's also made me a better teacher. You know, I'm someone who speaks, you know, I'm trying to do a good job here, but I usually speak really fast, you know, and I have students who can pick up things very quickly, and there's a lot of things I didn't have to explain. But at this level, it's not that they're worse at it, but they're just so far removed from school that there's a lot more little things that I have to explain. And so I've gotten a lot clearer at my job. I've gotten a lot more granular at my job and can really get to some details that I think have made me a better professional overall.
Great. All right. What do you think is the most important quality to have when teaching students? And vice versa, what do you think the most important quality for a student to have?
Okay. Well, I'll answer the easy one first, which is the teaching. I think this is kind of an off-the-wall question, but it is how I feel. I do think that great teachers are slightly entertaining. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I think back in high school and I had a teacher who was talking about geology again, and he was so into it. He was just so into it. And he would tell stories almost. He would almost teach it through stories. And I just love that. And I think there was an entertainment factor. You know, I think you're really doing a great job when students are looking forward to coming into your class. Right. Because that doesn't happen very often. But I've had that commented in my classes in the past. And I think it's what has made my classes a bit different is that I really go out of my way to try to make it as fun as possible for them. Because when we're having fun, right, then we kind of drop the guards, we're more engaged, and maybe we'll take more chances, you know, maybe we'll do a little bit more than we would have. And it also provides that motivational factor. I'm a huge believer in kind of learning through a playful environment. So I don't know if all the teachers that I've had in the past who've had that same mentality, and I think it's a shame because, you know, we're not just there to present information. We're also there to present information in a way that's really attainable. It's really easy, digestible. And I think sometimes that means, you know, partially entertaining, making students laugh and having a good time. For students, you know, I think here's the most important thing. There's a book out there called Mindset by Carol Dweck, D-W-E-C-K. And if any of the students out there is trying to be a better student, I would heavily recommend reading this book. And it's because She talks about the difference between what's called a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. And a fixed mindset is really prevalent in the Western society. You're smart, you're talented, you have good genes. All of these three things you can't change. It's very static. It doesn't promote the idea that, oh, you can be different, that who you are now is just a practiced way of being and you can practice another way of being and totally change. A lot of people believe this, that they are who they are, that they're genetic, that they can't change, that they'll never remember people's names, that they'll never be good at math, yada, 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 yada. A great student doesn't have that. A great student has what we call a growth mindset. And by the way, any successful person like Oprah Winfrey, Will Smith, or even athletes have growth mindsets. They firmly believe that anything can be accomplished through enough time and the right mentor guidance and practice. And I think that's the way students need to be. Instead of saying, oh, I'm always going to be a bad test taker or I'm never going to be good at this class, you really got to open up your mind and say, well, what do I need to do to get better? And how can I be honest with myself and say, well, what skills do I really need to be better? And I want to grow as an individual, right? And so the other way that manifests itself is, oh, I really, really want to get an A. I really want to get a B, or I never want to get a C, right? Well, what are we saying when what do I got to do to get an A? What are we really saying there? What we're saying there is, what's the least amount I can do to still get what is external from me a really good recognition, right, an A? But if you lived your life that way, right, you would never be great at anything, right? You would just be good enough. And no employer is going to want to hire you if that's your mentality, right? But that's the way students are taking these grades. So, you know, you really want to develop a growth mindset. You are growing for you. And whatever grade you get in the class, that's fine. That's irrelevant, really, because it's more about what are you getting out of this class so it can benefit you as a person, right? And that's what's easier for me as a communication person to teach, because it's really easy to do. If you get better public speaking, that directly translates. So I would say for any students out there, really try to adopt this growth mindset that at this point, you're a blank canvas. And any kind of bad habits or good habits you have is really a culmination of things you've practiced. By the time you're 30 years old, you can be a whole different thing, right? And so having that ability, that belief that, hey, it's possible, I can be really, really good at this.
Did you read that book as a student?
I read it as a junior, and it changed my life. It really, really did.
High school or college?
College. Not early enough.
All right.
Not early enough.
All right. So what is the most rewarding part about being an academic coach and a public speaking professor at Sober College?
Oh, man. Well, as a public speaking teacher, it's always been really rewarding to see someone find their voice and to like their voice. A lot of people, they don't want to do public speaking because they frankly don't know how they sound. And that uncertainty is anxiety producing, and they try to go up and then they don't want to be judged, or they don't know how it looks, so they just don't do it. But when you're forced to over and over again, you start to figure it out and you hear feedback from classmates saying, no, you're really, really great. And they love their voice. And I love that, because then you can see them, their posture changes, and they walk out of class differently, and they conduct themselves in a better way. And I've seen people make drastic changes who they are on a social level. They make more friends just because of a class. That's really, really rewarding for me, because you know I'm trying to help people get over this fear that most people have over death, right? Jerry Seinfeld would say, you know, if you're at a funeral with an orator talking about the person and the person in the box, we'd rather be in the box than giving the eulogy, right?
Yeah.
Which I think is ridiculous. You know, we're people. We survive on communication. So that's been really rewarding. As a coach, I think the most rewarding thing is just giving people the belief that they can do it. You know, I had someone told me once, oh, I can college, I can do this. It's like, yeah, you can, right? It's not as hard as you believe. And so when they turn that self-efficacy into something I can do, that's just a great feeling.
It's awesome to hear. What is the hardest part about your job?
The hardest part is getting them to realize what they're doing and to getting them started, right? Inertia is a big thing. Right? Inertia meaning, you know, what is in motion stays in motion, right? That whole idea. So if you're standing still, it's very hard to start moving the ball. That's easily the hardest part. And that starts with having a goal, right? If you don't have a goal, it's really hard to get started. So some people really are at a loss and they're very unattached to what they want. And if they don't know what they want, it's hard for me to help them get there. So that is really, really, really hard. It's really challenging. And then getting them to like school or to see that that's valuable and changing that mindset from a fixed to a growth mindset. Those are all really challenging things to do that just take a lot of time. So if you're out there and you're really you're struggling with this, it takes time. Just keep putting the good information in and eventually little things will change.
All right. So last time on the show, we had a tutor on the show.
Mm.
What would you say the difference between tutoring and teaching is?
That's a good question. I think teaching, you're doing it mass. You're doing it 20, 30 minutes, or 30 people, excuse me. Tutoring, you're doing one-on-one. And so tutoring, when you're one-on-one, you get to see, okay, well, I want to get to know this person. If they love basketball, I'm going to make every single analogy a basketball analogy so that they get the concepts I'm doing. I adapt what I'm trying to say into their verbiage so they get it. If you're in a big class, I can't essentially do that, right? I'll still throw in a couple of references or two, but, you know, I don't know if everybody will get it. So I think the individualized attention is a whole different thing, and it's challenging for those ways too, but you can really make a difference in those ways.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome. All right, that is all the time we have for today. I hope everyone enjoyed that episode of Study Busters. Thank you, Hayden, for coming on today. Much appreciated.
Of course, yeah.
And to all those listening out there, make sure to tune in next time to Study Busters. I'm your host, Mark Blaze from KPC Radio, signing off. Thank you.